Well, hello, White Sox fans, and welcome to another edition of the Future Sox Podcast. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me this evening is James Fox. Good evening, James. How are you?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, other than the fact that I have to watch this abomination of a baseball team on the South Side, I'm doing all right. Other than that,
they're bad, like real bad. And they're not even fun bad because they're boring, like really boring. They can't hit. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, you're going to have the games like you had today. I think a lot of, like, sometimes they will be close because they do defend, and we've talked about that, right? But like defense doesn't get you that many extra wins, especially when your offense is as atrocious as it is. So, you know, if people are less offended because they catch the ball, like, that's fine. But, like, it's, you know, you're still going to lose most of the time. It's just not great.
Yeah, I think that we won't be as angry watching them boot the ball around so much. But like you said, I mean, catching the ball is not going to score you runs. I mean, it might, you know, save you a few runs as far as pitching goes. But realistically, they're just not scoring any runs.
I mean, I'm not going to be angry because I have no expectations. Like, it is what it is, right? Like, it's like, I was tweeting about the draft pick thing. It's like really unfortunate. But I mean, like, it is what it is. Like, you can't let that be the reason. Like, it just, like, can't really influence your decision making. They haven't spent any money, as we've seen. Like, this is just kind of what it is. We're going to see a whole bunch of pitching. I know we were going to get into the, you know, the addition that they made earlier, supposedly, and just, like, kind of what that means and how many innings they truly have to cover this year. I mean, dude, there's 158 more of these. And I've been to two of them in person, and Saturday was fun. Like, Saturday was cool. It was like, okay, this is, like, maybe they do this occasionally where Luis Robert hits two bombs or whatever, you know, and they still can't win because your starting pitching doesn't go deep enough. And I know we kind of talked about the bullpen a little bit and how I didn't think it was that bad. And look, if, like, 7, 8, 9, like, it might end up not being that bad. Like, Leisure looks okay, and Kopech looks really good, and I think Brebbia and Wilson are probably fine for what they are, right? Like, sixth or seventh inning guys on mid-tier teams. But the rest is, like, not good, and you're not going to cover 15 outs, like, every day. You're just, like, not going to. So, yeah, it's pretty ugly, and, you know, especially when you have, like, teams like the Braves come in. It's like, yikes.
Yeah, Leon is looking more like 2023 Dominic Leon, and Brian Shaw has looked absolutely terrible. Yeah, there's going to be some really bad innings out of this bullpen, and like you said, you know, with Flexen and then Fetty, neither one of them went very deep into the game. And when that happens, you're going to run into a lot of problems. Let's go back to opening day. We got to hang out a little bit on opening day, which was nice. Garrett Crochet looked as good on opening day as he did in Arizona. And I was not expecting him to go as deep into the game, but it was more because I was expecting the pitch count to pile up a little bit earlier than it did. So he ends up going into the sixth, you know, through the sixth. And I was over the moon with that. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. Same. I mean, it was what, 80 some pitches, or was it more than that?
It was 93.
Okay. I mean, so maybe it was not, so that's fine. So he threw 80 in his last, like, appearance in Arizona. I guess I just kind of thought that he'd get into a little bit more trouble and it would be 80 innings or 80 pitches in 4 innings or something, right? So he goes 6, and he kind of talked today that he could have went 7. So, like, what's the plan? I don't know. Like, are they going to let him go 6 or 7 each time and then just kind of skip him occasionally or whatever? Like, we'll see, right? But, I mean, if this dude is this dude, right, for 100 innings or so, it helps you a lot because we're going to talk about how terrible this baseball team is. Like, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's, like, one of the better pitchers in the American League, potentially. It's, like, a decent start. Where, like, if you start to look at the 2025 team and who's on it, like, you could put Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation and build back. Like, that's better than, I think, what we thought even the last time we recorded together.
Yeah, 100%. The questions that I have about that start is how much of this is based on Detroit? Because I wasn't particularly impressed. I mean, they had the, you know, obviously they beat the White Sox on Saturday when the White Sox actually managed to score some runs. But does, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, what does this mean for Garrett Crochet when he's pitching against somebody like, say, the Atlanta Braves? How is he going to look then? That's my question.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like, Detroit's supposed to be, like, pretty solid. And I wasn't really that impressed. I mean, the Sox played them pretty straight up, I thought. I mean, yeah, like, they're going to come back on a bad bullpen, like, occasionally, right? Or the Sox can't score any runs or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, like, if I were a Tigers fan who kind of thought that they're going to run down Minnesota, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know that they have enough. Some of their young guys that are supposed to be stars, like, aren't. Their pitching's not bad though, and I think their pitching coach. And I think their pitching coach is, and I think their pitching coach is pretty good. But
I think the thing about Detroit is that their team is a lot more complete this year. I feel like their depth is a lot better than it has been in the past, and you know, 1 through 9 in the order, there aren't, you know, huge black holes like there have been. You know, they don't have those White Sox black holes in their lineup. Yeah. I mean.
Except for at shortstop.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll see as the year goes on, you know, who they bring up and what ends up happening. And, you know, I fully expect, I know Torkelson hasn't done anything yet, but I fully expect him to. And, you know, Riley Green is going to be fine. You know, I have a feeling that a bunch of those guys are going to end up being fine. It's just going to take a little bit of time for them to work into it. And on the flip side of the, you know, that coin, I feel like the White Sox will improve marginally, not to the point where I think that they're actually going to win baseball games, but I have a feeling that the numbers will come up at least a little bit and they won't be batting 138 or whatever it is that they're batting right now. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, the division's bad. The White Sox are by far the worst team in the worst division in baseball. So, at least in my opinion. So.
Oh, they're going to, yeah. I had mentioned to some people in the last week that I think that this team is going to be, you know, as far as the White Sox go, going to be historically bad and going to be one of those years that everybody looks back at and kind of laughs about it.
Yeah.
Because. They're just not going to score any runs, and I wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning 55 games. Like, I don't want to say that, but at this point, like, I can't make myself think that they're going to even win 62. So they only hit 100 losses.
But they're going to lose clean, right? With great culture in the clubhouse, apparently.
So they say. So, you know, at least they'll like each other while they're losing. So I guess that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's already, like, I've already had people, like, critical of, like, some managerial decisions. And, like I've said a couple things. I think they have the worst manager in baseball. But, like, it doesn't matter right now. Like, that, you know, like, it doesn't matter who's managing this team. Like, Gavin Sheets today, like, faced a lefty, right? And I'm like, oh, that's kind of stupid, right? But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what he's supposed to do that would, like, make it that much different, really.
Yeah, no, 100%. With this talent base, I don't think it really matters too much what the moves are, but that kind of segues into another thing that I kind of wanted to just briefly touch on, something that's not really important in the grand scheme of things, other than if you were actually trying to make an assessment of what Eloy Jimenez actually is. He swings at a ball, comes up gimpy going to first base. And I was about to tweet about the swing before they played the replay and said, oh, he's coming up gimpy right now. And then I just stopped the tweet. But my initial thought on the swing was that looks exactly like last year's swing, because he just rolled over the top of his swinging, you know, chopping down, chopping wood on the ball straight into the ground. And I was like, this is exactly what he said he had been working on. And he didn't do hardly at all in spring training. And as soon as he gets to Chicago, here it is again, chopping down on the ball, grounding out, you know, it's like replaying all of history of the last year.
Yeah. So, he's just such a low IQ baseball player. And he probably doesn't have the body to be a professional athlete. I don't know. I don't need to see him anymore, personally. I mean, they tried to trade this dude all winter, and they couldn't. Now, could they have, like, dumped his – I don't know. I don't know that. But what I was told is they tried to trade him all winter, and nobody would take him at that price point because he makes too much money. Like, he's just not very good because he's not – he doesn't know how to play baseball. Like, he came up Saturday – well, I don't know if the bases were loaded or if it was first and third or second and third or whatever with one out. And, like, same thing. Chops wood down to the third baseman, double play, inning over. Like, all you need is a fly ball there. Like, it's Eloy. Like, hit the ball in the air. And nobody has, like, been able to get him to do that. I mean, we even saw it with Robert, right? Like, the one shortcoming that Luis Robert had was that he swung at everything. Like, and he was still a 5 WAR player because he's a gold glove defender in center field, and he's just an absolute animal that hit 38 homers. If this is going to be the guy, like the guy that sees like 30 pitches in 4 at-bats or whatever, and he like truly worked on whatever he said he worked on, where he's like focusing on one zone or whatever, like he could win the MVP on a 58 win team. That's how good he could be. But it just like doesn't seem like Eloy has it in him. And that's where I've always kind of like, I know people kind of lump Yoan Moncada and Eloy together. And like, I don't really think that's fair. And people, I know people hate Moncada just because they think he doesn't care, he's lazy or whatever. But I mean, like, he does have one skill, right? Like, he can defend and he can like run a little bit, and like, he's okay, right? Like, if Moncada's healthy, a contender is going to take him and play him at third, because of the dearth of third base. You know, like the Phillies would love Yoan Moncada if you, you know, didn't require anything in return and just kind of like forked him over or whatever, right?
I said the same thing on the show last week.
I don't know that anybody would take Eloy, because like, why would you sit your current DH to play him instead? Why would you do that? He's just like not good. And yeah. You know, and look, they got to salvage him, right? Like, he's got to play DH, and you got to hope that they can just, like, figure something out. He's very likely not going to be on the 2025 White Sox, but, like, the best-case scenario is he hits and the Marlins or somebody that's, like, desperate, like, you know, takes him and tries to see if they can. But it's just, it's not going to happen here. It's been a lot of different coaches, a lot of different managers, and he's just exactly the same guy that he's always been.
Yeah. Yeah, I said it literally the exact same thing on Hot Takes and Heaters last week, that Yoan Moncada, Dave Dombrowski is going to Dave Dombrowski, and he is going to trade for Yoan Moncada to replace Bohm, because Bohm has been, you know, mediocre. Yeah. He's not bad, but, and you know, if Yoan continues to play like Yoan's playing right now, it's 100% upgrade over what Bohm's done.
Have you seen the top of that draft class lately?
Oh, it's bad. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The Giants yesterday, right? DFA Joey Bart, who's the number 2 pick in that draft. Bohm went 3rd. And the White Sox took Nick Madrigal at 4. And Jonathan India went 5. Like, that is a bad draft. And I don't even remember now who the number 1 pick was.
Casey Mize.
Yeah, Casey Mize was 1. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
so
Nolan Gorman ended up going.
He went in the teens somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Kelenic was after,
yeah, he
after
went
the
6.
White Sox as well.
Yeah, and he's been a bust too for the most part. Like, yeah, that's not a good draft at all. And I know, you know, that year the guy that Kenny Williams wanted supposedly was Brady Singer. in that draft, which was interesting. And then they took Madrigal because it's safe or whatever, you know, but yikes. Okay. We don't have to do any more of that.
Yeah.
So we have a Mike Clevenger question, whenever you want to get, whenever you want to get to it.
Yeah. I figured that that was going to be the next, thing of business before, I mean, I'm sure that we'll talk a little bit more about, what's going on with our 0-4 White Sox here for a few minutes, but, then move on to the, affiliate preview stuff.
Yeah. This is Danny and Nick's problem, I think, now. And you can, you know, this is what,
hey, Danny says that they're going to win 74.
Or at least he boy. Thinks, there's no chance. Like,
I've been killing him on that.
They're not going to win 64.
I don't think so either. Do we, blank name asks, do we know how much money they gave Clevenger?
So it's not, sorry. Yeah. So it's not posted anywhere yet, but I heard $3 million. And the funny quip that I had for Ian here before the show, and I don't know, maybe it's not funny because it's about Mike Clevenger, but so I had heard that the White Sox had an offer out to Mike Clevenger for a while. I don't know if that's since, Dylan Cease has been gone or what, but I was assuming it weeks, you know? And I had heard that it was like $2.5 million, and he obviously was asking for a lot more money than that. He turned down what, 12 to come back, I think, right? They paid him a $4 million buyout. So my question then is, like, were they stuck on $2.5 million to Clev? Did the Yankees trade the White Sox $500K for Jake Cousins? And then that's the extra $500K for Mike Clevenger? Because the way that Jerry Reinsdorf does business, like, if you told me that that was the case, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, the Bulls once sold a draft pick for $3.5 million so he could, like, pay for something in the stadium, apparently. So this is how Larry's Corner Hardware Store operates sometimes.
I need soda for my soda machine. My players don't have any soda. Send me some soda, and then you can have them. That's 100% what this is, you know.
It's not good. It's what it is. Yeah. So, like, the Mike Clevenger thing, there's people hate him, and whatever, like, rightfully so, right? Doesn't seem like a particularly great dude. It doesn't seem like he was part of the massive clubhouse issues that apparently, like, encompassed Chicago last year. You know, if he was like giving Pedro Grifol noogies, like, I don't think he'd be here, and he's here, so who knows, right? I will say, like, some of the stuff about last year, he was pretty good. He had 2.2 F WAR. He had an ERA in the threes. He only, like, made 27 starts. So he got hurt right around the right before the deadline last year. They were not able to trade him. And I've seen a lot of people kind of say today, like, oh, he's a bag or whatever, and that's why nobody wanted him, so the Sox couldn't trade him. That might be true, and it might happen again. But I think it lacks context, and stuff like this bothers me, like, when it gets out in the ether, because it's just, like, not true. So, yeah, like, they couldn't trade him, obviously, because he was hurt. They put him on, like, waivers in, I believe, September, where anybody could have taken him. But the problem with that is he had a $4 million buyout. So if a contender picked him up, they'd get him for, what, four starts? And then you're paying the $4 million buyout. There was no chance anybody was doing that, right?
And he was just coming off injury.
Yeah. So could it be true that, like, 29 baseball teams wanted him under no circumstances because he's a bad person? Sure, I guess so. But I've been watching pro sports long enough that, like, I think that's probably nonsense. So if Mike Clevenger, for whatever reason, has a 3.3 ERA, like, in July, my guess is
dollar price point.
Yeah, my guess is they'll be able to get something, you know. Yeah. Maybe it's nothing, but something. So, and the other thing is, like, they have to cover 1500 innings this year, guys. So, like, we don't like every move. I don't like Brett Keller either. Like, but it is what it is. Like, they can't just hike Drew Thorpe up from Double A before he's ready, because that's what we want to see happen, right? Like, Jonathan Cannon would have to be added to the 40 to take starts. Like, somebody's going to have to make starts and fill these innings. So he's not pleasant. I get it. Like, we don't have to hang out with him. So it's really easy for me to say, like, who cares, and, like, brush this off. But I mean, like, it is kind of what it is at this point. Like, $3 million for a guy that's not that bad. I don't know. I don't really know what much else to say about it.
Yeah, I guess like my main question here is the, you know, Nastrini's not on the 40 man yet, right? So you were planning on probably bringing him up and putting him on the 40 man at some point. So you were going to have to clear a spot anyway. But I guess my question here is, what purpose does Mike Clevenger serve with a team that's probably going to win 55 games? Like, this is my question on it, is that if you're going to spend, even if it's only $3 million, okay, I guess maybe it's on a wing and a prayer that at the trade deadline you can get you know, some flyer arms for him from somebody's minor league system. I mean, that's my only question is, what's the point
of this signing? I think I tweeted the same earlier. I don't really get it. I mean, they see some sort of value in it, right? For some reason. It's $3 million. It's like nothing, basically. I mean, Chris Flexen is awful and got 1.5, I think. And he's a way better pitcher than Chris Flexen, which probably tells us like the market was nothing. I mean, if this is his market, like, you know, either more is like going to come out that makes the White Sox look really stupid, or he was asking for $10 million all offseason. And this was like his only deal, basically. Right. So I don't know. Maybe he had $7-8 million offers like earlier in the offseason. And he just didn't take any, he didn't take those deals. You know, I don't know. I have no idea.
Oof. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Could you imagine losing $5 million just because you're waiting for somebody else? And, you know.
Well, the White Sox are technically paying him $7 million, right? Because they bought him out for $4 million.
This is true.
Yeah. Well, so here's this. So Trey asked a question. He said, but they couldn't trade Clevenger when he was playing well last year. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much they tried to. He was hurt like around the trade deadline. Like he literally got injured. So that might be true. Like maybe nobody else wants him and like they'll be stuck with him. I don't know. But I don't know that we know that that's true. Like the buyout is a huge deal in September. So, you know, that's fine. Like I'm just not going to, I'm going to save my outrage for stuff that's more important than this.
So Clutch asks, so when do we get concerned about the Mena trade? Because Fletcher looks not great so far. I mean, he's looked pretty decent in the outfield, and he did get his first hit today. I would say that we wait on this, you know, for a while. I think this is what you've seen from Fletcher so far is not what you would expect out of him.
Come on. He's played 3 times. It's perfectly reasonable. 4 games in, it's over. He sucks. That's what everybody wants to hear me say. They want me to be irrational because I never am. I'm just not as irrational as everybody else is. It's way too early. Like I really don't even want to entertain the question personally, but I don't know.
And to clarify, Mena actually, as his max velocity on his fastball hit 96 in Diamondback spring training, but his average fastball is still 92.5 miles per hour, which is not going to get things, you know, it's not anything that's going to alter anybody's thoughts on what Christian Mena is. And to be, you know, I had this, like a Twitter back and forth with Upper Beck, who's, you know, part of Fantasy One's fantasy coverage. And, you know, like the thing about Christian Mena last year is, his stock dropped a little bit last year because his command was bad because of the super tack ball. But the thing is that the, you know, he did add a couple miles an hour to his fastball, but, you know, you still have to command it. And his command wasn't that great last year. And his command wasn't that great when he went to the International League with Charlotte later on in the year, which didn't have a super tack. And there was no reason for him to be erratic with his command. And he still was. So, you know, one start, you know, in the PCL is not anything to panic about. And I would also say that three games of Dominic Fletcher is also not anything to panic about, because in his career, he has shown that that is not who he is. So give him a little bit of time, let him play a little bit. And yes, he is a 26-year-old, 5'6" guy. I get it.
With 42 minor league homers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know, just don't expect an all-star. And I will say that Christian Mena,
yeah,
he's going to have to work really hard if he wants to be where he wants to be. So we'll just say. So there was a question in here that I was going to bring up. Where is it? Because this has been asked numerous times. Jose Rodriguez will be in Charlotte. Family stuff going on, so it's going to be a minute, but he will report to Charlotte. That's where he's going to end up.
And he's on the 40 man, so what, him, Sosa, Montgomery, all in Charlotte. Ramos is obviously on the 40 man too, but he's in Birmingham.
Yeah. So Lenin Sosa racking up frequent flyer miles because of the Aloy tear ductor strain. And they bring him up here because he's going to fill in for Aloy if he spends time on the IL. Well, now he's put on IL. He's not put on the IL, and he's day-to-day. So they flew Lenin here because apparently, as you heard, I also heard that he was in Chicago. So apparently he just came here to hang out and have a campfire milkshake and then fly back to Charlotte.
Good deal for him, yeah.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, they open tomorrow, right, at home, so.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, if he's in the Charlotte lineup tomorrow, then he's back in Charlotte. But I mean, look, guys, like the way this 40 man is, like if something happens to a position player, right? Like on a whim, it's Sosa, Colas, Deloach, and Jose Rodriguez, right? I mean, that's your, you know, those are your guys. So, and yeah. Look, I get not putting Eloy on the DL. I know that's controversial, like if it's like 2 days or something. But the problem is with the White Sox history, like they'll play short for a week and then put him on the DL anyway is the problem, right? So if it's truly like, okay, it's going to rain the next 2 days, like you're not going to have a game, and then Aloy's back in the lineup Thursday or whatever, like it's fine, you know? But yeah, it's just why there's no reason to trust that they're going to make the right call.
Yeah, that's exactly my feeling as well, is that I don't know. You know, we're dealing with a new GM and AGM. So, I mean, technically a new GM, even though he used to be the AGM, or I guess a farm guy, but, you know, he was working in the front office. How much do I trust that this 26 man thing isn't going to be like a several week thing like it was in the last couple of years? You know, you just don't know until we see what happens here.
Yeah, no, for sure. And look, there like has been some churn though, which we've talked about. So like it is a little bit different, right? It's all bad players. So that's like not that promising. But you're also like when you're dealing with no money, this is essentially what you have to do. So I mean, like, we don't like Mike Clevenger. We don't really care that much about Robbie Grossman. We don't like Brad Keller. Right, but there's guys waiting in the wings to like play to try to get you through like 158 games or whatever. Like the previous front office never ever did stuff like this, right? Like there's a ton of pitching depth, bad pitching depth, but like again, like they have to cover all these innings without forcing prospects to do them. Like last year, their sixth starting pitcher was Davis Martin, and they did not have a seventh, and Charlotte had two guys in the rotation. So on the one end, like you do have a lot of guys that you could pitch, like if you need to, you know, and that's not me saying that like they're going to be particularly good. So it just kind of is what it is. So I went to two games and did not even consider having that milkshake. Like,
really?
No, no chance. Like, I can't, like, yeah, if I'm going to have that many calories, like, it's beer and dogs and all the other good food in the park. So
fair enough.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Clutch says he bought into the Eloy Spring training.
Hey, guys, I told you not to. If you like listen to this show, you know, I don't know. I didn't even know he was good in spring training. That's how little I paid attention. So
he did. And here's the thing, right, about that is that I will say his swing looked different.
Yeah.
And he was hitting the ball hard. But as soon as he got off the plane in Chicago, same stupid pounding the ball into the ground thing. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like, you know, when you're looking for your keys.
Yeah.
And you know you're looking for your keys, but then you walk through the doorway and then you forgot that you're looking for your keys. It's 100% the same thing. As soon as he got here, he forgot how to swing the bat again. Like, I don't get it. I'm all out of sorts.
Does he just like get excited?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that as soon as he got up to Chicago, it's like you're not seeing that same swing plane that you saw in Arizona. It's like it just completely changed, and I don't get it at all.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts.
Ooh, look at B minor over here. I'm not doing apologies, but you know. He's shoemaking me feel much better. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, hey, like, look, if he's like a long-term utility guy, that would be freaking awesome. Like that would be glorious. I just, you know, remain skeptical. I do like that he can run a little bit. So look, he was a first round pick for a reason. But he literally just never hit in his minor league career. So I had no reason to believe that he was anything. But yeah, like if you told me that you want him to play short every day against righties, okay. And Sid Paul DeYoung, fine. Like, fine. What, you know, like that's totally fine with me. Totally reasonable opinion to want to play that guy, like, instead. Because, hey, let's find out what we have, right? I could make the same, you know, like I have the same opinion on the guy who looks like the best player in Charlotte right now, who you're dummy manager can't stand. So, you know, there's a lot of situations like this.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing here also, you got DeYoung, who's, you know, culture guy. He does have a home run that he hit the other day. But he's also, you know, to negate that, he also threw a ball into a right field.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we'll see what happens with DeYoung. And like the good thing about this roster is that they're not really tied to any of these guys past this year. And for some of these guys, like DeYoung,
May 15th. Yeah,
exactly. It could be that right. They're like, you're not cutting it here, man. See ya. You know? So,
yeah, especially if like some of the guys who. Like, it doesn't, I don't know if it's like a regime thing or a Pedro thing or what, right? But like, you had heard similar to me about Lenin Sosa. Like, he's kind of like lost some luster there. Like, I had heard that, like, they had even kind of shopped him around a little bit to see what they could get for him. Now, they clearly aren't ready to, like, DFA Lenin Sosa and, like, give him away for nothing or something like that, right? But, like, that doesn't seem like a guy that's in the plans when you sign a bunch of infielders, right? But if he mashes in Charlotte, and guys get hurt and he comes up here and he hits, like, that's how you stay on a team, right? Like Jose Rodriguez, same thing. Like any of these guys could just like force their way onto this club whenever, because there's going to be opportunity because of how bad the team is. So
yeah, if you can get the dope to actually let them get some ABs and get comfortable here, you know, I mean, that's another thing, you know, is that these guys are fighting. And,
I don't know. I think Charlotte is the best place for Oscar Colas to be right now. I don't want him anywhere near this manager. And it's not going to hurt him that much, like having a solid season there. I think it's fine.
So as you know, like, I guess we can move to the, start moving to these, mm-hmm. these affiliate previews here. And I'll just go ahead and address what I've seen from Oscar Colas so far. He's hitting the ball. He's hitting the ball the other way. He's pulling the ball when he wants to. He's not over swinging. You know, he's hitting his cutoff men. He's taking decent routes to the ball. He looks like he did before he came up to the White Sox. So, you know, I'm kind of with you, is that if I think that AAA, and I've said this numerous times, I think AAA with the guys that are in AAA playing in the outfield with Brett Phillips and Mark Payton, these are going to be some guys that are going to help him to establish a professional work ethic. And I think with him, that is of utmost importance, because you saw what happened when he came up here last year and took his cues from the dopes that are up on the major league team. You saw how that worked out. You know, lack of direction, no routine, you know. So I think that it's probably not a bad place for him to end up. Although, you know, I don't know what, you know, what you could say for Justin Jerschley as far as, you know, the instruction down there, but I know that what happened up in Chicago last year was not it. So,
well, and he also looked totally different. Like he was just off. He was awful. he was a top 100 guy for some publications, you know, like it's just, it didn't resonate. Like these guys would get to the White Sox and they'd get worse. And obviously, like I think anybody listening like has heard the shortcomings with the White Sox development system. So like me and Ian are not gonna sit here and say like, oh yeah, they like develop these kids all the way through, and that, well, like they don't. But they were doing a better job than was being done in Chicago. Like these guys would go up there and it would seem like they'd never played baseball before. Like Oscar Colas was playing center field in the minors and he was like okay at it, which like tells me that he should be like plus, maybe like in a corner, potentially above average. And he was just awful and didn't even know how to play baseball. It was very, very strange.
It was really weird because I went and saw him on the second game of Winston-Salem's season two seasons ago. And I watched him chase down a ball that was hit 50 feet directly over his head in center field and make an over-the-shoulder catch in center field, turn around, and then gun it back to the infield. Like, where was that guy last year? I have no idea. I don't know what happened when he got to Chicago. I don't know what they were doing, but it was not good.
Well, and he's, like, getting hits off left-handed pitchers. Like, that one was stunning to me. And that's a guy with way more upside than Dominic Fletcher has. Like, he just does, you know? And he's buried on the 40-man, he's on the 40-man, which helps him, right? But,
yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens, like, with that. I mean, look, they're going to have more interesting roster decisions to make. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure Robbie Grossman's going to be on the team at some point, like whenever he has enough at bats. Like, I think he takes Sheets' spot, but who knows? Like, I don't know. This is going to be, I don't know what the record is for number of players like used in a season by a team, but they might challenge it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, and it's not without good reason, because there's going to be a bunch of these guys that are just not going to be able to cut it on a major league roster. So they're going to have to replace them with somebody. So we saw the opening weekend from Charlotte over this past weekend. Lenin Sosa looked good. Oscar Colas looked great. For first couple games in AAA, I thought Colson Montgomery did a fairly decent job. He had some nice at bats. He had a couple of quick at bats that ended up in ground outs. But I thought, you know, defensively he looked fine. He did make an error, but you know, it was a ball that hopped up onto top of the heel of his glove. So I'm not going to hold that against him. No throwing errors, which is for me, with him watching him all last year, no throwing errors for me is a big deal. Do you have any particular things that stood out to you over the weekend that, you know, have you excited, or at least, you know?
Well, I mean, some of the when I looked at some of the pitching stats, like I thought they were playing at home, and then I'm like, oh God, they were on the road, and it was still that bad. No, I mean, it's look, I mean, Lenny and Sosa and Colas right now, at least are interesting. Jose Rodriguez will be there soon, and Colson's there, so that's you know, those are pretty much like the guys to see. The pitching, like the bullpen, actually has some decent guys in it that. You know, a couple of them I wrote about today on the site, Bailey Horn, you know, two above average pitches, or maybe even plus pitches. And then Prelander Baroa got rocked up a little bit. But, you know, I think those guys are probably going to pitch in Chicago at some point. Adam Hackenberg, I think, has, you know, we've talked about him a lot. It's a future backup catcher. But, I mean, there's some guys there. The other affiliates are definitely more fun than Charlotte, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, Prelander Baroa. I don't know what happened the other day, but he was not locating his pitches, and they got hit hard and went real far. I think he gave up 6 runs in one inning, or 5 runs in one inning. He gave up a couple of home runs. It was not pretty. Alex Spies also. I think he gave up a home run as well after walking a guy. Bailey Horn looked pretty decent, though. You know, he had a couple of strikeouts and looked fairly decent. And, you know, I mean, the pitching staff, the starting staff, limited runs for the most. Like, they looked pretty decent, you know? So, might not have Jeff Cohen ready to gouge his eyes out by, you know, June this year, which would be nice.
Yeah, he missed Jake Cousins' only start of the year for the Charlotte Knights, though. As you know, the White Sox trade Jake Cousins to the Yankees for cash, which I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, it doesn't really matter. Is he going to like pitch for the Yankees?
I mean,
did they need an arm at Triple? Like, I don't really understand that
that's,
one.
I mean, that's my guess, but so do the White Sox. They need pitching depth.
Yeah, and well, that's my
good. And
well, that's training, my so. Thought is that like Keller's probably gonna take that spot. But I don't know. You know, I don't really know. He's not. He got released. Yeah.
Chase Soleski is no longer with the Knights. He was released last week or the week before. So yeah, he is no longer their number one. What's that? John Park also gone. He was.
Yeah, quite a few guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannon has not started. Like, I don't know. I don't really know if they're gonna like redo the rotation. I know Cannon didn't pitch yet, right? So
nope.
I don't know if they're gonna open with him or if they're just gonna wait. But you know, like there's some guys in Charlotte. I think there's some guys in Birmingham that I thought might be in Charlotte that aren't. So we'll see. But Schuster, Cannon, and then some vets, it seems
well,
like.
Well, Schuster made a start.
Schuster did, yeah.
Yeah, and he
was not
good. Walked a couple of guys. He did not have a very good outing, really. You know, gave up more runs than I was expecting out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Command wasn't as good. This, I do not know.
My guess is next weekend. I mean, so we'll get into the affiliates here. I mean, I know we're 48 minutes in, but like Schultz is going to Winston. I don't know that he's like the opening night starter or anything, but I would imagine he'll throw on the first weekend.
Yeah, which we are going to actually on Wednesday, you and I are going to be talking mm-hmm. to Andrew Murphy with the Winston-Salem Dash, the play-by-play voice for the Winston-Salem Dash. So look yeah. for that later on this week. I'll have like yeah. a pretty in-depth preview of the Dash with him. And talk about Birmingham now. You can go back and the rosters were not released at the time. So Kurt Bloom didn't have the full roster, I don't believe, at the time. But Elijah and Jeff Cohen on the roundup did a interview with Kurt Bloom a couple weeks ago. So you can go back and take a listen to that and, you know, get some knowledge from Kurt.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And I will say me and Ian right now are going to go through maybe like some of the top guys in the system, kind of talk about where they're expected to be. You know, I think we have an inkling on some of it. None of it's officially released, obviously. But I think if you have questions on guys, like, stick it in the comments there, and then we can probably get to it.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably safe to say that you're going to see, like, Drew Thorpe's going to end up in Birmingham, probably, because he didn't pitch in AAA last year, so I wouldn't expect him to start there, and he hasn't been on the roster so far, so I would expect him to be there.
So the Birmingham rotation's good. Right.
Look, I mean, it should.
Yeah. Thorpe, Iriarte, Eater is scheduled to be there in Birmingham. You'll have Kai Bush, who's like not very good, obviously. At least hasn't been very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, for the White Sox, he wasn't very good.
He was
injured.
Yeah.
So,
And then Mason Adams in Double A as well. So pretty interesting Double A rotation. I don't really know. Like, as far as the bullpen, like, I don't think Adler will be there yet, but, you know, so I don't know. I don't know how good the bullpen will be, but the starting staff in Birmingham should be pretty good, and the lineup, pretty good, too. Lots of prospects in Birmingham.
Yeah. Obviously, Edgar Caro is going to end up there again. We haven't seen, obviously, he's not at AAA. You got Chucky and Hackenberg playing, you know, all the catcher innings up in Charlotte, but you're going to have Caro, I would assume probably Turner and, you know, somebody else, you know, at least as a third catcher. So you're going to have competent depth at catcher, and both of those guys can catch a game. And I would actually say that Turner could probably actually help Caro, because Turner's pretty polished when it, you know, as far as it comes to defense.
Yeah.
So I would think that he probably actually would be a good guy to have on this, on the, you know, catching with. So
I would think those guys both play like pretty much every day. Like, somebody should catch, somebody should DH, and just kind of go from there with that in Birmingham. Elko is at first, Ramos probably at third. Yeah, I tweeted earlier, Brooks Baldwin. So Brooks Baldwin, if you did not listen to the show with Jim Callis said that he's like the guy in the system that the White Sox are the highest on. That, I guess, like, if we were to ask somebody with the Sox, like, hey, who are we too low on, essentially, they would say Brooks Baldwin. So my guess is he's going to play some shortstop in Birmingham. He was pretty good last year. I mean, across two levels, he had 128 WRC plus with 15 homers, and he plays everywhere. So, you know, Baldwin's pretty interesting. I think they have a couple other, like, non-prospects, right, on the infield. Is that fair or not fair? But they're guys that have been okay, like, in the minors. Like, Alexander Womack and Jason Matthews, both interesting guys. I don't know that they have professional futures, but they've definitely, like, put up minor league numbers for sure.
I think Alexander Womack could be a future utility guy type guy. You know, his dad was scrappy, completely different body type, but, you know, Alexander's got the same scrappiness. You know, guy's got a good bat to ball and plays good defense, and he does team things, which is, you know, nice to see from a White Sox player.
Yeah, and then the outfield. So there's some guys in the outfield too, at least we think so. So Wilfred Varas will be somewhere, one of the corners. Terrell Tatum's there. I think one of the things that surprised us, like, I don't know for sure where Jacob Burke is going to be. So he could be in either Winston or Birmingham, but I kind of feel like those guys are there. But the Sox do have, like, Robbie Grossman has to play somewhere, obviously. I don't know where that's going to be. Duke Ellis is a guy that I've always kind of liked. Probably a fourth or fifth outfielder type, but that dude plays like his hair is on fire. So if he's there, he'll likely be playing. So yeah, Birmingham should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, the stolen base and Duke Ellis, those are, he's a lot of fun to watch. And if he's healthy, at least, even if they, you know, pinch run him, he's a ton of fun. You know, he'll steal, you know, two bases and two pitches, and they'll know and still won't be able to get him out. So, you know, we got Winston-Salem. Now, obviously, we're going to talk to Andrew Murphy on Wednesday, so there's going to be a little bit more in-depth stuff going on there. But, you know, judging by you know, we know Schultz is going to be there. I would assume Shane Murphy's going to end up there from Kannapolis last year, who is a real interesting left-hander. Kind of reminds me of Mason Adams, a left-handed version of Mason Adams, you know, where command is very good, doesn't walk anybody, and, you know, is very consistent. I'm interested to see what, you know, what comes of him this year. And then I would also assume that Tanner McDougal is probably going to end up there as well. Mm-hmm. He ended, you know, his last outing in Canny last year was phenomenal. So I'm, you know, hoping that he builds on that and the stamina's up a little bit this year and he can eat some more innings this year.
So I'd say lots of starters there too. I see six for five spots, probably. Noah Schultz, you mentioned. Tanner McDougal, you mentioned. Like Shane Murphy, Juan Carella's probably there. Peyton Paulette's probably there, would be my guess. And then Tyler Schweitzer as well. So, you know, any of those guys could go to Birmingham as well at some point, like once guys kind of filter up to Charlotte. But yeah, so then, you know, that's interesting on the pitching side. I mean, there are some relievers there too that are, I guess, interesting, but not really like super proven, obviously. Like, that's my guess where Adler would go. I know Riley Gowans, they was in the Braves trade.
Yep.
I think he's probably there, would be my guess. So, like, yeah.
Libertyville or Mundelein or something.
Yeah, they get some local guys. And then just recent draft picks, I'm sure, just kind of litter some of these bullpens. But yeah, and then I think, like, one of the big questions in high A, the catcher. Like, I just assumed that the catching plan would be Turner, obviously, in double A because he deserved it. And Calvin Harris should be the catcher in Winston. But I do know, I think we had both heard that Calvin Harris was nursing some sort of injury. I don't know how serious it was, or is. So, you know, he was like Arizona rehab essentially. So I don't know what that means. I don't know that he's ready for Friday, but he could be.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you guys didn't know, Kannapolis, Winston-Salem and Birmingham all start on Friday. But because the Dash are playing the Poverty Astros team down there in North Carolina, there will be no stream, so we will only have Ballers, Knights, and Barons highlights this week coming up, which is a real bummer.
My guess is if Schultz goes, you'll have media there.
Yeah, I mean,
since it's in North Carolina, Baseball America will find their way there probably. And
you'll see somebody's footage. Because I remember.
Josh Oscar Norris Colas. Like went to all of his games. Yeah. Schultz's games.
Oscar Colas hit his first home run against the tourists at their place, and their park, Babe Ruth played at their park. It's been around since like the early 1900s. And somebody with like a flip phone from 2005 must have taken the video of that home run because it was potato vision. I don't know how they can't even have a one camera feed at that place in the year 2024, but here we are. So what we have, as far as, do you want to move on to Canny and just leave Winston-Salem for Wednesday?
Well, we can. I mean, I guess just as far as like the top 30 guys, and we'll get into it more, with Andrew, obviously, but that is where, Jacob Gonzalez is expected to be, and Samuel Zavala should be there too. So, you know, two top 10 position player prospects in Winston-Salem.
So yeah, at least get to see some, I'm really excited to see Zavala swing the bat and see what, how I feel about that leg kick when he's doing it in game, and I get to watch it more than, you know, like 10 ABs, you know?
Yeah.
So Kannapolis is kind of interesting. It's going to, like, from what we have charted down for what we think, it's mostly college arms and college bats. To answer a question earlier asking about, where is it?
Grant Taylor. Yeah.
Grant Taylor. Yeah. We're expecting him to end up in Kannapolis. How soon that is, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that, but I know that Josh Norris saw him pitch the other day.
Yeah, I believe so. And there was some stuff going around. Like he's throwing in games in Arizona. So my thought is like he probably could just go to Kannapolis and throw. I just don't know what they want to do innings wise. My guess is it's the Peyton Paulette plan. So if he's ready to go, like I wouldn't be surprised. Like maybe we don't see him the first weekend, but he's on the initial roster, and then we see him the following week at some point. They're gonna nurse him along, but Grant Taylor is pretty interesting. So I interviewed him a couple weeks back. I should have that for you at some point this week on the site. Just waiting for a couple other contacts to get some stuff. But yeah, really, really interesting guy that I think is going to be pretty good. But we'll see how that goes first year back from Tommy John rehab.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him throw. So, I mean, what we got Jake Peppers. Keener.
Yeah, so college guys, right? Yeah, Keener, Peppers, a guy who I think is going to be really good in low A and high A is Lucas Gordon. I don't know that he's like a big league starter for sure. He was a 6th-round pick. He carved at Texas. He's like a back-end lefty type that you could imagine, you know, your soft-tossing lefty, good off-speed stuff. But, I mean, he'll be definitely good in the low minors, and he'll rack up innings. And then another guy that's really interesting, Aldrin Bautista, who they got from the Dodgers at midseason last year. He led the Arizona Complex League in strikeouts before the White Sox got him. He looked solid last year. So I'm pretty sure he'll be in Kannapolis as well, with a whole host of relievers from just different draft classes and international classes. The thing that's really interesting with Kannapolis is like, I think there's some young guys that people want to see, but those guys are probably slated for Arizona to start. But I mean, you know, without like a full season rookie ball, it's Arizona or Kannapolis. Yeah, George Walkow, I would be really surprised if he's in Kannapolis. I think that's quite a jump, especially with the ACL season starting as soon as it is. I would think you're George Walkow, Javier Mogollon, those guys are probably in the ACL, but you might have, you know, some of the guys from the DSL class from 2 years ago that were in Arizona last year should be in Canny. And they had rough seasons in Arizona, you know, like I've often talked about that. Sometimes like we see some success in the DSL and scouts see guys and they're like, oh, this is a guy to keep an eye on. And then it's like a 540 OPS in Arizona. And then they go to Canny and it's worse and they're out of the org, right? So
yeah,
there are some guys like that on the Kannapolis team for sure.
Speaking of, you know, we didn't mention it yet, but I'll throw this out there. Something that was, I tweeted out earlier, late last week, is that Jorge Vera was put back on the 60-day IL again. After seeing all these workout videos of him doing, you know, all these strength building exercises, 60-day IL. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't have any information on that. Just saw it on the transactions page. Just happened to catch it. Nobody's mentioned it anywhere else. So not good. We'll see where he ends up. So as far as the Arizona, the ACL goes, probably just going to be like Lacombe probably ends up down there and eventually probably Opper as well, I would assume.
Yeah, I would think so. Like there's some interesting pitchers in Arizona just because like, yeah, Christian Opper should be there as well as Lacombe. There's Carlton Perkins as a under the radar name that people kind of liked. He was a JUCO pick last year. And then there are two like biggest signings not necessarily out of the Dominican, but from that international class last year, Marcelo Valadares should be there as well as Luis Reyes, who was a 700K signing who struggled a ton at the beginning of the DSL season and then did kind of figure it out. He's a pretty high upside arm. And then Maximo Martinez, was another guy they got from the Dodgers. He's yet to make it out of the complex, like the Arizona complex, like for anyone. He's ended his last two seasons hurt. He did not pitch for the White Sox after the trade last year. So
he didn't. Oh, okay.
He did not. Yeah. But Bautista did, but Martinez did not. And I don't know how serious it is, but it was serious enough for him to not pitch. And the same thing happened the year previously with the Dodgers. So, you know, he's there. He's interesting. Like, they gave up international money for him. But I don't really know, you know, if he's healthy enough to pitch.
Yeah, I saw Bautista, I think, probably, I don't know, 6-7 innings last year for the Cannonballers. And he looked pretty decent. I think it was, if I remember correctly, I think he just did some relief. But, I mean, it's been a good 6 months since that happened, so I don't really remember. But, you know, and with the ACL, you know, you never get to see really what's going on. But, I assume that Burrows will probably be back there again. He was there last year, the numbers kind of tanked a little bit in the ACL last year. So I would assume that that's probably where he ends up again.
Yeah, I know that he is another guy who had been dealing with some injuries. Somebody told me injury rehab for him. So I don't know what that means. I don't he could be in canny. At some point, right? I think him and Ronnie Hernandez would be the two highest ranked guys in Kannapolis. And then there's a lot of weird, fun college type guy, like Riku Nishida's in Kannapolis, who, look, I don't really think is a prospect, but the people of Kannapolis, North Carolina are going to love Riku Nishida. Eddie Park is interesting. He's kind of like a slappy center fielder type from Stanford, you know. So yeah, that's basically those guys. And then the ACL, I'm assuming Wolkow, Mogollon, Abraham Hernandez, some of those other guys, the DSL class was
Nunez?
Abraham Nunez, sorry. Yes. Yep. The DSL class was pretty good last year. There were some hitters that were good, and look, sometimes they come stateside and don't do anything, but some pretty good offensive performers there.
I'm just bringing this question back up here so we can address this. What Trey Williams asks, what's going on with Sean Burke?
So injury rehab. I do think he joins an affiliate though, fairly soon. So I don't think it's something where he's done. But it was a shoulder. So, you know, I just always have low expectations for shoulders. But the one thing about Sean Burke, if they decide to make a relief transition, it could be quick, really quick, because there's really no reason to. I mean, his stuff's really good. It's just been injuries and walks for the most part with him. So I think if they decided, hey, man, starting pitcher dream's not going to work, you're going to relief, he could move pretty quick.
Yeah, the walks piled up on him pretty quick at pretty much every stop that he's been at. He can get guys out, and his curveball is really good. It's just been the command. See if he can tick up a couple of miles an hour, you know, with the fastball if he's in relief. We'll see what happens. So, you got anything else?
Anything else
interesting?
I think that's it. We've been doing this a while. I could go on a whole diatribe about their international strategy, but I think I'm going to save that one for a different time. Just with some of the recent, the Cespedes news isn't surprising, but it's just a microcosm of everything that's wrong with how they do business. So yeah, we can save those. I might write something on it, but yeah, it's just pretty disheartening. And I'm waiting for this change that Chris Getz has spoken of to people about the international market. So yeah, we'll see. You know, more bad baseball to watch, but at least we'll have, you know, pretty soon this will be 90% minor stuff, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. The Yoelki Cespedes thing paired with the Jorge Vera and, you know, just these weird weird signings of
Yolbert Sanchez was given $2.5 million.
Well, you know, I'm sure he'll help the Gwinnett Strike, you know, the Gwinnett Leurys down there in Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have Yolbert Sanchez throwing to Leury Garcia, you know, as a 4-6 part of the 4-6-3. So that'll be fun. Maybe I'll pop on some Gwinnett Stripers to relive the old glory days.
Yeah. Hey, the one thing before we go, I guess that Braves fans hate Aaron Bummer already, by the way.
Not so good. He's looked pretty bad. I think he's blown two games.
But
already.
I think the underlying stats are probably, he's probably got like a 212 FIP though.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, like it's just like, you know, like it's just kind of the way it goes with him. Like yeah.
He, the numbers stay low. All the ones that are, you know, like, you know, formulative numbers all look great, but the reality of what actually happens with every single one of his numbers is ugly, and for whatever reason, the ball just falls in holes everywhere.
Yeah.
Fine. But, I mean, we did get MVP Braden Shoemaker.
I was just going to say it. They could have done Bummer for Shoemaker straight up, and the White Sox won the trade.
Exactly. Perfect. Okay. So, like I said, on Wednesday, we're going to talk to play-by-play voice of the Dash, Andrew Murphy, and expect that probably, I don't know if we're going to go live yet. I haven't discussed that with him. I guess I should talk to him about it if he wants to. Otherwise, you'll hear it on Thursday morning or see it on Thursday morning on YouTube. If you are not watching us on YouTube right now and you are listening in podcast form, know that when we do these podcasts, we do broadcast them live on Twitch at twitch.tv/FutureSox. And we are also on our YouTube channel streaming as well. If you would like to go back and listen to this in podcast form, you can find it anywhere that you find your podcasts. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He is James Fox at James Fox 917. You can find, we have dropped a bunch of content here in the last week. Top prospect, positional rankings, and also articles of the previews of all the affiliates are coming out as well in the next couple of days. You can find all that at futuresox.net. While you are on that site, you could also sign up for us on Patreon. A couple bucks gets you some extra content. Please like and subscribe here on YouTube. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for coming and spending time with us tonight, and we will catch up with you guys soon. Have a great night, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks. Night.